Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us this Motzei Shabbos, September 9th, for Slichot Night of Inspiration with Mrs. Michal Horowitz and Mrs. Slavi Young-Rice-Wolf, available on demand. Sign up for reminders and other Yimei Ratzon Ideas and Inspiration programs at ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkup. Today we will continue our study of the Book of Iyov. In chapter 36, Elihu presents a fourth speech in which he articulates how God manifests his love and protection of humanity. In verses 2 to 4, he opens with a polite request as a preamble. Kater li Zeir ve'achavecha. כי עוד לאלוקה מילים. אסא דאי למרחוק ולפועלי אתן צדק. כי אמנם לא שקר מילי, תמים דעות עמך. Bear with me a little longer and I will show you, for God has more words. I bear my knowledge from afar, as I will ascribe justice to my maker. Be assured that my words are not false. One who has perfect knowledge is with you. The claims that Elihu makes may be taken as grandiose and haughty, and consequently, most translations interpret the phrase "od le'elokam milim" as "there's more to be said in God's behalf," presuming that Elihu is embarking on a defense of God's ways. Malbim explains that Elihu intends to reveal the hidden reason that Iyov and other good men like him are tested. He speaks as an emissary of God who implanted fundamental truth in the human soul. Those truths are accessible to any wise man who strives for enlightenment through the study of nature and history, and by contemplating God's words as revealed to the prophets. Nevertheless, many of the classic Jewish commentaries take these words as proof that Elihu had direct access to God's mysteries. They assert that in his speech, Elihu is foreshadowing Hashem's revelation to Iyov, when God will speak to his long-suffering servant through the whirlwind. Ibn Ezra notes that Elihu explains that his knowledge comes from afar, Esa de'i lemerachok, implying that he obtained additional knowledge from distant sources that most people do not have. Ramban concurs and suggests that Elihu is privy to mystical knowledge, to which Kohelet refers as Rachok mashehaya ve'amok amok, that which is far off and exceedingly deep. Believing that the answers lie in the beyond, perhaps in previous lifetimes, in the mysteries of Gilgul Neshamot. Furthermore, the commentary struggled with Elihu's pronouncement, Tamim de'otimach, whose literal translation is "one who has perfect knowledge is with you," which sounds awfully arrogant. Amos Chacham interprets the phrase as, "I am speaking to you without any pretensions and without any flattery nor insult, for I, quote, I'm in agreement with you that your suffering was not caused by any sin you committed." But Ibn Ezra and Ramban suggest that one who has perfect knowledge describes God, and Elihu is simply paraphrasing knowledge obtained from the one who knows your every action and every thought, understands your pain, and cares deeply for you, the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Having captured Iyov's attention, Elihu proceeds to praise Hashem for his protective might and unbreachable justice. הן כל כביר ולא ימאס, כביר כוח לב. לא יחיה רשע ומשפט עניים ייתן, לא יגרע מצדיק עיניו, ואת מלאכים לכיסא ויושיבם לנצח ויגברו. God is mighty but despises no one. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. He does not keep the wicked alive but gives the afflicted their rights. He does not take his eyes off the righteous. He enthrones them with kings and exalts them forever. Elihu stresses that God's constant watch is limited to the tzaddik, who is a person who strives to do right and obeys Hashem's dictates. It's important to stress that righteousness does not mean perfection, for no human is infallible, as Kohelet underscored, Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov velo yechta. Ramban explains that Hashem is close to those who seek his presence, and he is distant from those who turn their backs on him and on his laws. This idea is repeatedly stressed in Tehillim, and Elihu is merely paraphrasing principles of Hashgacha that are woven throughout the Tanakh. Karov Hashem lekol korav, lechol asher yikreu be'emet. God is close to those who call out to him, that call out to him sincerely, truthfully. And again, Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav, v'et kol harishayim yashmid. God watches over those that love him, and he destroys the evildoers. Thus, Reb Chaim of Valozhin, in his book Nefesh HaChaim, interpreted Hashem's message, which he conveyed through Moshe to the enslaved Bnei Yisrael, introducing himself as Eheye Asher Eheye. Reb Chaim explains, as you related to me, so I relate to you. Similarly, Abarbanel interprets the verse in Tehillim 121, Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yeminecha, Hashem is your keeper, he is your shadow at your right hand, to indicate that God provides shelter in direct proportion to one's behavior. Malbim explains that Hashem particularly shields the righteous individual and watches over him, but with such personalized Hashgacha come greater expectations and trials. Elihu recognizes that those trials to which Iov is subjected, the Nisyonos, are not punitive any more than the tests to which Avraham Avinu was subjected. They are more likely designed to actualize the tzaddik's potential and elevate his soul so he can lead other people to a virtuous life, enthroned as an exemplar, like a king. However, those who are exalted can also fall from grace and power, as Elihu stresses in verses 8 through 10. But if they are bound in chains, trapped by cords of affliction, Hashem tells them what they have done, for they have sinned arrogantly. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their wrongdoing. Even the righteous are prone to arrogance or supercilious behavior. Moreover, our sages noted in Masechet Sukkah, Kol ha-gadol mi-chavero, yitzro gadol himenu. The greater a person's accomplishments, the more likely he is to fall into temptation. Therefore, Hashem strikes them to correct them. Elihu then compares the consequences of those that take heed with those that turn a deaf ear to Hashem's rebuke. In verses 11 through 12, Im yishme'u v'ya'avodu, yechalu yimehem batov, u'shnehem banimim. V'im lo yishme'u, bashelach ya'avoru, v'yigve'u bevlidat. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. And in the following verses, Elihu describes the fate of those who do not take the warnings seriously. V'chanfei lev yasimuaf, lo yeshavu ki asaram. The godless in heart harbor resentment. Even when he fetters them, they do not cry for help. Could Elihu be implicating Iyov for harboring resentment and self-righteousness, refusing to pray to God for reprieve? If not, then why are these words so reminiscent of those uttered by Bildad and his buddies? However, a careful reading indicates that Elihu differs from those that preceded him by refusing to explicitly condemn Iyov's children. And he would never claim that they died because of some grave sins. At the same time, Elihu refuses to endorse Iyov's conclusion that there is no judge and no ultimate justice. Elihu does not pour salt into Iyov's wounds, but concurrently, he is confident that even in the chaotic muddle of suffering, he urges that we must all trust that good deeds have eternal value. Therefore, Elihu continues by focusing on the destiny of righteous people who, like Iyov, find themselves in oppressive straits. Unlike the three comforters, Elihu concedes that tragedy and unexplained agony can happen even to people who have not sinned. He foretells that Hashem will rescue Iyov and restore him to a life of prosperous serenity, and says in verses 15 to 16, Yechalets ani be'unyo, ve'yigel balachatz oznam, ve'af hasitcha mipitzar, rachav lo mutzak tachteha, ve'nachat shulchancha male dashen. He delivers those who suffer through their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. He's wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with richness. But Elihu also warns Iyov that he must not fall into despair or lose faith while awaiting God's deliverance. But you are obsessed with whether the godless will be judged. Don't worry, judgment and justice will be upheld. But watch out, or you may be seduced by wealth. Don't let yourself be bribed into sin. Could all your wealth and all your mighty efforts keep you from distress? Do not long for the cover of night, for that is when people will be destroyed. Be on guard. Turn back from evil, for God sent this suffering to keep you from a life of evil. Ramban points out that these verses sound eerily like Eliphaz, who said in the very first round, Ashrei enosh yochichenu eloka, umusar shakai al timas, ki hu yachiv veyachbosh, yimchatz veyadav tirpenna. Happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the Almighty's rebuke, for he makes sore and binds up. He wounds and his hands heal. Why did Iyov vociferously reject those words and others like it when they were uttered earlier, whereas he remains silent and apparently conciliatory when these notions are mouthed by Elihu? Was there a difference in tone? Or is there a fundamental difference in Elihu's message? Rashi explains that Iyov was willing to accept Elihu's consolation and admonishment, for he explained that suffering can purify a righteous person from all too human flaws, allowing him to ascend directly to Olam Haba. In the latter part of this chapter, Elihu begins to remind Iyov of Hashem's power and sings praises for his wonders, particularly those that are manifest in rainfall, through the following chapter, which we will examine tomorrow. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.